Welcome to Vox Vomitus, also known as Word Vomit.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of Vox Vomitus. I am your host, Jennifer Ann Gordon, the author of the Kindle Award-winning novel for Best Horror, Beautiful, Frightening, and Silent, as well as Pretty Ugly and the Hotel series. Joining me today, as always, is my Vox Vomitus vixen, Allison Martine, author of The Bourbon Books, which includes the award-winning novel Dibs, Since September, Move on Melinda, and her recent novel, Climb the Salmon Ladder. Joining us today is Chandra Bloomberg, and we are here celebrating her very new release. It released yesterday, Stirring Up Love. Welcome to Vox Vomitus, Chandra.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Hello, and welcome back. Because we got to talk on To the Moon, Allison, when your first book came out, Digging Up Love, which had me doing all sorts of things with baked goods and putting things in buckets and so forth to try to do a great photo shoot. And I was showing you beforehand. This one, I was trying to do barbecue sauce pictures with a label. My daughter is the Sweet Baby Cupids. That is not the name of the barbecue sauce in your book, but I do applaud her effort and all the barbecue references in your book. You want to tell us a little bit about it? And it's not just about barbecue sauce.
First of all, I love that. I think that's amazing. And I hope you did some pictures because she did a great job. But yes, so Stirring Up Love is all about obviously barbecue, but really it's a small town rivals to lovers romance featuring a small town restaurateur. She has her barbecue restaurant and then a chef, and he's an out of towner, and he's also got his own brand of barbecue sauce. And sort of they both show up at the local farmer's market and sparks fly because they're each other's competition.
And her reaction to him showing up is just like, you're on my it's
yeah,
amazing.
She went real territorial real fast. Like within 2 seconds, she's on the phone, like damning this poor man to like have the worst tent mates that he can possibly have, or so she thinks.
I need you to remove a barbecue competitor.
I feel like I would have read an entire book about that knitting group.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun.
Because in my brain, they're like half of a cult. They're like a little, like, because I write horror that I'm like, ooh, oh. I don't trust that knitting group.
You don't trust those knitters?
No.
Just way too eager. All right. They're just, you know, people like that who are really into their hobby and don't get why everybody else isn't really into their hobby too.
Yes. And they think everyone else is. They're genuinely
Don't you want to join?
Yes.
No. And I feel like knitting was such a great thing to use too, because of course, in the past several years, there have been a lot of people who took up knitting, and rage knitting was, you know,
knitting is a thing. I thought during the pandemic we were all required to have sourdough starters and banana bread.
Rage knitting was pre-pandemic when something happened in our country politically that a lot of people disagreed with.
We rage knit?
Yeah, they knit hats. Yeah, I'm trying to like not say those pink hats.
Okay, I know which ones you mean now. Specifically, they mimic a part of the body.
Yes. Yeah.
But you should wear it on your head. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And usually we swear on the show, but I feel like we've never used the P word on the show, so I didn't want to be the first one.
Like, we'll not do that.
My
book does not stop at the farmer's market because I was posting about the road trip and I'm like, is it a spoiler? It's on the cover, so it's not a spoiler.
No. Okay, yeah. Well, the road trip is not.
Yeah, and I wanted to talk about Finn's tattoos, and again, I was like, oh, that's not. And I'm like, I don't want to spoil that, but I'm like, there's a tattoo here.
It's a stylized, because obviously he doesn't have the I Love Barbecue tattoo.
I know. I was, that was like my one thing that I'm like, that cover designer.
Here's my next tattoo.
He has tattoos, right? And then you've got all the barbecues. So.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good thing, because I don't think there's anything in the American geography that just has this. Because if so, I'd like to drive there where you just drive through giant Teslas. I would go, but I don't think that's part of it. But there are parts of the desert that are nearly this color.
Yeah. I was going to say, I bet there's a place where you could drive through giant utensils, because there are places where you get like the world's largest ball of twine.
And a lot of those are out in the desert, right? Yeah.
So this probably is a place.
So if anybody watching this live or later on the replay, please send us a message if you know of a place where we could drive through giant utensils, giant cooking anything.
That would be amazing. Papers. I would go there. And
I would too.
You could have a book signing there.
Yes.
Okay, but they get to this road trip after going someplace, and then snowstorm happens. They can't get home, and then things just go from bad to kind of worse, but to kind of better, and all at once.
Yeah, to really, really good, to, oh no, not good at all, to, oh?
So, Chandra, what was your inspiration for this? Because, so for people who haven't read the first book, Digging Up Love, it was not an enemies to lovers situation. I mean, they didn't get along right off the bat, but they were not at each other's throats the way these two were, where it was like,
on live TV.
Quarters, so. Guys. Stop it. Stop it. Okay, and stuff that happened on live TV, I cannot say what you had happen on live TV. I'm like, Chandra.
Yeah, I had fun with that one. Because things happen. People are under pressure.
I don't want to do that on live TV.
And yeah, things happen. But I think that the difference is, Alicia from the first book, she's the oldest sister. She's very much like the caretaker, sort of the responsible one. Simone is responsible, but she's also very bold and like going after her dreams. She doesn't care about, speaking what's on her mind. And so she's very much, she
doesn't bite her tongue very often.
No. She bites her tongue so fiercely, right? And then this guy comes in and he's not from town, and here she is, she has her mindset, and then this is just turning everything on its head. And she's like, I'm not ready for this. I've got to sort of go on the offense.
Yeah, because her plan, she has like this big plan to like reinvigorate the town and do all of this amazing stuff and build this great community. Having a really hot guy come in with like, who's also a barbecue person.
How dare he?
Yeah.
How dare there be two? And I love that she immediately was like, there are rules about this. There's not supposed to be two.
I did not realize there were farmers market rules. And now I kind of want to go to my local farmers market and ask if there's like a code of conduct. Because there's plenty of duplicates at mine. So I'm curious.
I was playing a little fast and loose with that, but I bet there is like sort of this unspoken, not necessarily about how many of people, but you don't do this. You don't take this person's spot or you don't come before so-and-so. I feel like there's always sort of these like little hierarchies. And
there is. And I used to do craft shows, and there were like a certain number of like where it's like we can't have more than three people who do t-shirts. We can't have like it can't just be all purse makers. Like
that's also
or
so
all
that
knitted bikini
like,
tops.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, that's a very niche thing already, and probably not one everyone comes looking for in a craft shop. But two barbecue, it's not like, oh, you were the one who does an extreme Greek cheese that you set on fire. You also have Greek cheese you set on fire. Like, it's barbecue. There's lots of room for barbecue. I want barbecue right now. I might just start drinking this. I'm hungry. All right.
I know. Allison did ask me if she could eat ribs, barbecue ribs on the show.
I was told
no. I was like, please don't.
That might not go over so well. I did have some last night though. Not ribs. Okay,
What like did you
sampler.
Have?
We had like a sampler. I had like brisket, pulled pork, pulled turkey, like pickles, cabbage, like a kind of cabbage slaw.
All things Jen won't eat.
I know. I'm like,
yes, yeah.
I was like, that's a lot of meat. And then I'm like,
fries.
And pickles.
Texas toast, fries. Yes.
Yeah. So I'll the fries were actually really good. They were like sweet. They had like some sort of like sweet and smoky.
Were they potato fries or sweet potato fries?
No, they were potato fries. It's kind of like brown sugar with like some, probably like some chili powder. It was good. I was surprised.
Yeah, I need those fries.
It was going to be good. But.
Yeah, I'm going to be going on vacation in a few weeks, so it will be dark. And I'm trying to not look like a potato, not one that turns into a French fry, just a potato in general before I go. So I cannot be eating things like that right now or downing all this, like just guzzling barbecue sauce, but I would because I really like barbecue sauce and barbecue in general. But honestly, I think a barbecue, like the big beef rib, would tie in both books because it's like a dinosaur bone. I always feel like I'm chewing on a brontosaurus. So yeah, this is
true.
The bone that Quentin found, and now it's barbecue. See, it all works together.
But I don't think that like Quentin, the paleontologist, would be very happy about like the millions of year old fossils, being
just like dunked in barbecue sauce, used as a utensil.
If it's a million years old and it still has some kind of flesh on it, we've got some kind of issue about preservation going. Jurassic Park told me that's not possible.
Yeah.
So
don't believe that. I've, again, going back to the horror thing, if you find a million-year-old creature and it's somehow like thawed out and there's like meat on it, like you know something bad is going to happen and that thing is going to like give people a plague.
Now we're watching the movie Iceman. Did we see Iceman?
I was really thinking of the TV show Fortitude.
I didn't see Fortitude. But honestly, anything that comes out of the ice after a long time is probably not going to be good. And now the bubonic plague's back. There we go.
Exactly.
We've had enough plagues. Thank you very much. We don't need any more. There are no plagues in this book, guys. Don't worry about it.
I know. It was definitely a feel-good book.
Oh, yeah.
I will be very honest and say I don't read a lot of feel-good books.
You don't look for feel-good books. She's like, ooh, this one causes me pain. I like it. I make you read them sometimes.
Yeah. No, it was definitely like a good book for me to be reading right now. So I was like, oh, yay.
Yeah, sort of. I wanted to, you know, there's some heavier topics in there, but my overall, like, I want to leave people feeling uplifted, feeling good about the world. Like, that's my goal. I want to make people laugh also, definitely.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've kind of joked there is this place, yours would be a clean romance, I would say, but it still has a little heat and a little spice to it. So we call it like the sweet with heat, which also sounds like we're talking about barbecue sauce again, yeah, which we're not.
I think I've had chips that were called sweet with heat.
No, because I've said the same thing about mine, is that they're not like full-on erotica or anything like that. And a lot of times right now it feels like the romance has kind of gone in two directions. It's either G-rated or X-rated, and things can fall in between, because isn't that more accurate to life? So it's not like she's like, well, I'm gonna look at him and I'm never gonna touch him this entire time and my thoughts are always pure.
Yeah.
I think there's definitely just room for like all different heat levels in romance, because, well, first of all, I read all heat levels. I think a lot of people do. And sometimes you're in the mood for, you know, lower steam or whatever you're reading. So I feel like there's just, it's something for everyone. And also, like you said, it doesn't have to be, you know, 100% just very chaste or whatever. I guess.
Yeah, it's not like, this isn't one of those like prairie romances where that's just like.
Which is fine.
That's its own thing. Yeah, it's not. It's its own thing. They definitely had.
On the prairie sometimes.
But these characters definitely had sizzling thoughts about each other. They just might not have been acting on each one.
Yeah, I wanted to bring all the chemistry. That's important for me. So
it was super there.
Yeah.
Like, you started describing Finn, and I was just like, hold on.
Finn is like every man I've ever like all like the hot guys like from my 20s, and you're just like, oh my god, he's bad news for sure. Or is he? You know, the tattoos, the jeans a little like low on his hips, working in a restaurant. I was just like, oh no, it's checking off all the boxes.
Okay, first off, if you're working as a chef in a restaurant and you're male, I thought you were required to have tattoos. Like, that's part of your resume. They check to see how much you have, because I've never watched a cooking show where half the male contestants don't have full sleeves. And even the ones that don't have full sleeves, they're like, oh yeah, I have one like right here behind my ear. And then you're like, oh, okay, you have one too. It's like, chop, chop, get some ink. It's all together.
Yeah, maybe that is part of it.
So I was just going to say, so I know Allison's talked to you before, but I haven't. So do you consider yourself a foodie? Is like cooking and food something that you are particularly, is that your version of rage knitting?
So I do. I love to bake. I love to bake more than cook. Like, I do cook all the time because I have 4 kids. So it's just like a requirement.
They always need to be fed.
Yes. Yeah. Asking for meals, it's weird. No, but I feel like that I do like to cook, especially like if I have like a lot of time and free time and to like cook something really fun, then yeah. But in terms
of this free time you just mentioned.
Have 4 kids. When do you have free time?
But like when it comes to decompressing, like baking is more. Like I will just like carve out some time and like make some cookies, and that's fun for me. So, but I do love watching like all of the shows like Chopped and like Top Chef. I love watching all those. It's just
which is your favorite?
For a long time it was Chopped. Now I'm not sure. I don't know. You're like, is this a Chopped trick question?
It's not a trick question.
I always loved Top Chef, but like the earlier seasons. And then part of it is you lose different cable stations.
Yeah, I haven't seen it once like forever.
Yeah, me neither. But I loved Top Chef partially because of just the caliber of the cooks. But mm-hmm. lately, or more recently, I've loved the Great British Baking Show, mostly because they're all amateurs like me. They're all so polite and so sweet, and they're like,
they're so kind.
They're so sweet, like,
to each other.
Yes, it's the opposite. I love them just being like, oh, I tried. And, like, the cake fell on the floor. I tried.
I know. But when you're watching like a high caliber cooking show, it's just like people like swearing at each other. And it's so intense. And I will say, I love to cook. I don't watch a lot of cooking shows, but I do love to watch baking shows. And I hate baking. I hate sweets. I hate all of that stuff. But like, I like count the days until the Great British Baking Show starts.
Have you seen the new show? Is it Cake?
Yes.
My husband and I just spent hours the other night on random YouTube stations.
He sent them to me and I'm like, are you guys watching Is It Cake? And he's like, no. And he's like, we should be watching it. Jennifer would love that. And he's like, and he, I guess, went and looked it up. He's like, oh, well, it's new. That's why. And I pointed out, my eldest daughter thinks she can always spot it, especially in the end round where it's one is a bag of money and one is cake. And she's like, oh, I always know.
That is hard. That one is hard. It's
hard because you're far away too. Because they can't get right up close.
I am blind. There's no way I would, if I were one of the judges, I would just be like, let's flip some coins here, people. I don't know. Because I can't tell, but they're so amazing. It's and then crazy. I'm just going, now you're going to ruin that pretty sculpture. But I would like that cake. So go ahead and do it. Cut off that dinosaur.
It sounds delicious too. Like they taste good. That's what's kind of crazy. It's not just like they threw some stuff together and then.
Yeah. It's like, and then we mixed it with some liquid cement. So it held in place. You can't eat that anymore, but it looks good. Yes. But I love those. And you do have a reality show element. So for people who are like, why are you talking about reality shows? So I was,
and it said right on the back of the book, so it's not a huge spoiler.
It's not a spoiler, but they're competing to have their dreams come true, but they don't compete with their skills so much as with their words and some choice words thrown at each other. And I loved reading that interchange because it just got lower and lower and dug more personal. And I'm just like, oh, would you like that knife back that you just shoved in my back there, sir?
I think they kind of forgot that they were on TV.
What's funny is I was reading it and then I was like, wait a minute, did they cut to commercial? Like, did I skip something? No. And I went back up to the top and I'm like, nope, they didn't.
No, they did not.
And I think there's been some times that I've been watching a show and I'm like, do these people like forget? And I think they do forget. I think sometimes people just have like forgotten that they're mic'd up and that there are cameras and they're just saying stuff. And I'm like, you know, it happens.
Or they just get so caught up in the moment and so carried away, or they hear something said about them and they can't just let it go. They're like, I can't. And I'm still working on that, even in not responding in texts, you know, and not responding in chat. Like, I'm going to look at a different screen right now. But if you're there and someone's throwing down and you're like, you said what about me and my family and my city?
Family. And also writing an enemies to lovers, I sort of have a thing where if I read enemies to lovers and it's more like a dislike or whatever, I'm like, well, they don't really dislike each other, you know? So I like it when there's a reason, you know, these people don't like each other. And I just feel like it just makes the journey that much more sweet. And that bigger of a payoff, you know? So I really wanted to make sure, no, these people, you know, they're not friends.
They are not, no. Well, and especially I love how they were enemies, but you also let us know right away that there was also a, wow, I hate them, but why are they so good looking?
Why do I keep thinking about them?
Yeah, like, I didn't realize they were good looking because I was so angry. It was all there, all at the very beginning, like, they're hot. Why do I need to murder them? Because they're so hot, but I really do need to murder them because they are the spawn of Satan. And both of them, not necessarily, I wouldn't say Finn did because he was kind of blundering into the wrong situation, but Simone's just like, I'm just coming out swinging and it just gets worse and worse. So they both have reason to just want to slit each other's throats while they sleep. And sometimes they do in the same room, but nobody's throats are slit. This is a HEA, guys. No one's murdered in their sleep.
No, it's absolutely ever. They're just words.
They're just words. They can't hurt you. So it's the second book in the series. Are you, you're working on a third book in this Taste of Love series?
Not yet. No, this series is just the two.
Because I was trying to figure out, I'm like, who would the next one be?
I want a Meg
be?
Book.
I was like, it's got to be Meg.
And I would tear off everyone. Like, I'm just, you know, in your mind, you can just imagine, you know, single people.
That's what I do.
Yeah. And now I feel like Meg needs a book and it needs to like somehow involve the "Is This Cake?" Like she jumps on that bandwagon just as like she's get like obsessed with the show and
Hey, that would be a marriage. So but
are you working on something else then? But
so
huh? That's a good time. I was just saying, are you so if you're not working on the next in the Up Love series, the Something Up Love series. Are you working on something else, or do you want to revisit this if time permits?
I'm always working on something. Nothing that I can share about yet. Yes, I'm always waiting.
What about a movie version of this? Because you know I cannot not start dream casting people in this. So do you have a Simone and a Finn that we're working up here?
So you know I'm terrible at that. Like I get to ask that question, and I'm like, no, but people keep saying, I guess I haven't seen, there's a show called
The Bear.
Yeah, they're like, oh, he's got tattoos. I guess people are saying giving Finn vibes, which I'm like, I need to see it.
He really, so that is the exact guy I was thinking of the second this started. It's called The Bear. It's on Hulu. It's about a guy who comes back to run his family restaurant.
And it's in Chicago.
And
there you go.
And it's like a Italian sandwich shop or something like that. But he's a trained chef and he's tattoos. He's got long hair. He gives off that Finn vibe of like, ooh, that's like, too hot, too kind of like.
Okay, but you keep saying how hot he is and, oh, he's bad. I always got, okay, yes, he's too hot, but he's also too sweet for his own good. Like there's rejected puppy nature of Finn that just makes you, and Simone eventually like want to just cover him up and pat his head and like pat the long hair and be like, it's okay. We love you. It's all right. And part of it, we already knew a little bit about Simone's backstory and you don't get into it quite as deeply here because you already kind of handled it with Alicia's story because they're sisters. So when your deadbeat dad leaves you with your parents, he leaves both of you. So she went through the same thing that Alicia did and her mom having passed away and being close to your grandparents. So we got some of that, but we also got to know what Finn's story was. So you both had people who were dealing with complex family dynamics and not really knowing always where they belong, both in terms of family, but also like larger community. And like Simone comes in and she's like hometown girl, but also doesn't know if she's welcome back. Hometown girl.
Yeah, she like assumes everybody in the town hates her.
Yeah, she feels like she's on the outs. And so she's sort of, this is her trying to help out her community, but sort of also buy her way back in. I think she kind of feels like she needs to earn her right to be there, which she doesn't, but that's how she feels. So that's sort of why she's more defensive. And yeah, she sees Finn as bad news. He's not to her at first. Yeah, that's her thought.
She will forever be cursing the man whose goats did not come that day. Like, the goats weren't at the farmer's market. And that made me want goat cheese. So it's like, oh, now we're back to wanting beets and goat cheese. And I'm happy to eat all that if I could, because I love that combo. But no, and it was funny because we joke, and Jen would not let me eat barbecue on this show. But Jen,
it was really the ribs is what I didn't want to see.
You didn't want me eating ribs, fine. Honestly,
you could have eaten barbecue chips.
That's not the same.
It's like eating something off of a bone that the vegetarian inside me is like.
Let me get away with eating Pop-Tarts on the show. But that's about it. I think I can eat a Pop-Tart less noticeably. Hello, Lori. Lori, saying hi, ladies. Hi, Chandra. So, hello. But I was pointing out that this is not just about barbecue. So if anybody's like, I don't know if I want to read an entire book where they're just eating barbecue the whole time. They're not eating barbecue the whole time. He is a trained chef and he's making these amazing things at various points, which kind of did give Chopped vibes at times where it's like, hey, this is where you are. Make the best of it. And
yes.
I liked the polenta part.
Ooh, I liked that too.
Yeah.
Yum.
And that was a vegetarian meal, right?
Yeah.
So, mostly because they couldn't trust anything else. That
And I was a vegetarian for a short while, and I've thought about going back to it. So I think sometimes I'm like, yeah, that's what I want to, if I'm going to describe cooking.
Okay, that's you and me both, because I was a vegetarian for, I can't math, about a decade. from when I was like 13 until like my early 20s. And then I started eating like chicken and then and fish and stuff. And then eventually I added in back red meat, partially because I'd been told that as a vegetarian, I wouldn't have enough iron. And if I wanted to have kids, I should probably have more iron, all that stuff. That being said, now I have three kids who are very picky eaters. So I kind of can't do what I would want to eat for my own, because then they are like, I don't know what this is. I'm not eating this, Mom. So I have to kind of cook for everybody, but I would happily become a pescatarian who eats ribs once a year. Just like give me my once a year.
Where do you eat ribs all for every meal?
Yeah, I was confused for a minute.
Like for a 24-hour period,
I eat 24 hours, only I would be so, I don't have a gallbladder. I would be so sick. Okay, so, and then once a year, I also am allowed to have bulgogi because I love bulgogi, but I'm seeing like vegan bulgogi. So I want to try vegan bulgogi to see if it works. And if so, then I'm like, okay, I don't even need that exception, but I would happily do all that. And do all that. But so if anybody's like, I don't know if I want to read a whole book about meat the whole time. This is not like the meat lover's
Bible. It really isn't. And I'm very like, oh no, please don't talk about veal or things like that. And there's, you know, for a book about a chef and a woman who owns a restaurant, there, yes, there's a lot of talk about like the craft of cooking and the love of cooking and the like the dream, the family dream, why they do what they do. But there wasn't that much. It's not like a book that's just for foodies.
Yeah, I kind of want, I wanted to have the element, but Simone is also, she's an entrepreneur. So her vision sort of extends just beyond the restaurant. So there is definitely, they both have that like shared love of food and everything. So I wanted to tie that in, but it's not just, yeah, it's not just centered in the restaurant. It's sort of just, they have a lot of ground to cover, I feel like, emotionally. Mm-hmm. And so also there's a lot of.
And physically, they have a lot of ground to cover. Because there's a big old road trip in this.
Yeah. So it wasn't just all centered on, you know, in the kitchen necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't spend the entire time there. So people aren't like, I don't know if I want to read. No, this book covers a lot of ground and it really kind of makes sense all the time. Because sometimes I've read things where it almost feels contrived. Like, and now they're, it's like, no, this all made sense why they were doing it with the timelines they had. And one thing, I don't think it's a spoiler, because if they read the first book, Simone's got to get back to town after this big pitch. Because her sister's getting married, which I love getting to see Allie and Quentin again and bring those characters back because I love them and seeing like, oh, yay, they're going to get to have their happily ever after. But it wasn't done in such a way that it's like, okay, and now here's their wedding. There was a plot point to it, too. And so I appreciated that rather than just like, well, here it is. Dun, 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 we're done.
Yeah, I couldn't not have them in the book. And I feel like Alicia and Simone, the two sisters, too, their dynamic is so is fun. Like, I feel like the sisterly banter, you know, of course, you got the banter between love interests, but the sisterly banter is really fun sometimes, too.
Well, I also feel like they have this cool dynamic, and I don't mean cool as in, oh, it's really cool, but cool as in how you wrote it, in that you've got a sister who's like, don't you see how people treat you differently and better and let you get away with stuff? And the other one's like, don't you see how that's true for you? Like, they're both doing like one of these. And I relate to this. I'm sure my sister's not watching. Hi, Dana, if you're watching. But we both at one point looked at each other. And this was when my mother was still living. We did not say this after she passed. That would have been in poor taste. But we were both were like, no, you're the favorite child. No, you're the favorite child. We both were like, how is it we both are convinced the other one is the favorite? And we both had super good evidence for why that one was getting special treatment. And it's like, well, they have no expectations for me. Nothing I do is good enough. And we're both doing this. And I totally saw that and could relate in Allie and Simone, including how things were handled, like when people had to step in with the restaurant and were people appreciated for what their contributions were and were their skills getting a chance to shine and what do people think of the choices they make? And I related to so much of that, especially about the whole what do other people think of my choices? And at some point people were like, people aren't necessarily thinking about your choices. They're living their own lives.
Yeah, it's like people don't care about your choices.
Yeah.
Unless it directly affects them. They don't care.
Totally. But I related to Simone so much because I am definitely, and Jen can vouch for this, I am definitely the person who's like, this person hates me because they just said this and now I feel really, really bad. And she's like, that's not what they meant. Back off. It's okay. Take a breather. Go drink something. Go have a shot of bourbon. It'll be fine. And she's right. Like these were never people. Okay, maybe in one case it was true. But mostly these were not people who really had anything. She knows who I mean. They were not people who meant anything negative towards me. But it's like a perceived slight becomes an intentional an intentional attack. And it goes like that. And I'm like, ooh, Simone and I were right there. But I had never had a hot guy try to start fights with me over these. So I feel really left out that I didn't get to have that. Like,
so you want to have a hot chef pick a fight with you on live TV?
Yeah.
Okay.
Make that happen.
All right. That's a bucket list item for sure. A very specific.
Very oddly shaped bucket I got going.
All right. Note to self. Got to find a hot chef to pick a fight with Allison on live TV. Mm-hmm. I can get it done.
Have a guest appearance on some show. And
we can just have
someone on the Great British Bake Off.
All I was thinking was, okay, we just have to find like somebody who, like a famous chef who wrote a book, have them on Vox Vomitus. I can tell them beforehand to pick a fight with you.
Fight with me. We can make it happen.
And then if he has tattoos, just somehow take his shirt off.
From season two, if he's available, that's fine with me. There's a whole list. It's fine. But no, I mean, I like that kind of dynamic, but I felt for Simone very strongly, and you know, you always write relatable characters, so I can relate with them. But Simone specifically, I related with her a little too much sometimes. Simone, calm down. Don't take it personally, Simone. Simone. Same thing.
Yeah.
But hopefully, that wasn't your own experience. Hopefully, you were channeling creativity and not personal.
Yeah, I feel like with characters, I just like, I'm sure it's like this with y'all, just picking and choosing things from my own experiences, sort of. Yeah. It's not like one character is me.
I always feel like my characters are all of my bad qualities, like rolled into one.
Well, that's
like, I'm just going to take all the terrible parts about me and just make it that a character. And then when I get a review that says, this character is not likable, I'm like, I know.
I know. I'm sorry. Well, and I've joked that too. I joke like some of my characters are just me in a wig and others are me with like one portion of me and then usually amplified, and it's usually a bad trait, but amplified that part to make it more of a character core rather than just one aspect of a larger personality. Yeah. And then I tweak the other things. So it's not like, why are all of Allison's characters oddly familiar, all the same, and all seem a lot like her? I don't know. But I did have one that it only went through beta and people did not particularly like the main character. I'm like, I know, nobody likes me. They're like, your character. I'm like, I know.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Because, you know, my current work in process, somebody was just totally like, oh, your character is not that likable. And I'm like, oh, she's me.
Yeah, you know, the whole unlikable heroine. I'm like, you know, I don't know. I feel like I write possibly, you know, Simone is an unlikable heroine, but yeah, I'm like, she's got some of my traits. You know, maybe that's me. Maybe that's what. But to me, I like to read characters who are real, and we're not all perfect. You know, we've all got our things. And some of us, you know, not everyone's going to relate to everyone because we all have our own strengths and weaknesses. So I think it's pretty impossible, obviously, to write someone who is just universally, you know, that everyone can relate to. But I do try to make them, you know, be real. So some people might relate to someone more than someone else, like Allison, you know, really related to Simone. So yeah, that's awesome to hear, because it's always a goal, but it's obviously impossible to make everyone be like, yes, I totally, you know.
I understood every aspect of that person so perfectly.
Well, and some people probably, like, they respond to the negativity differently. So some of it's not just the core personality, but also the response. So it's like, some people are like, yeah, I close off and don't talk to people after, whereas Simone does not close off. She comes after people.
Yeah, she so never takes a beat. There were times where I'm like, Simone, maybe just like, like count to three, even, not even 10, three. And already she's like in it. And I'm like, okay.
but if you write a character, like the flip side of the unlikable character is the Mary Sue, who's just too perfect. Nobody wants them either. Nope. But I think the key, and you do this beautifully, is when you write a character who does have some rough edges and some character traits that maybe need to be addressed, that you address them over the course of the narrative in an organic way, which you do. So by the end, yes, Simone is still Simone, but there are things that she has looked at herself and had a mirror held up really close and go, hey.
By a really hot guy.
The growth is important, and the self-awareness, I think, is really important to see. But yeah, I think, obviously, she's a young woman. Like, she's, you know, growing.
She's only 25.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I wasn't likable at 25.
I also didn't own a restaurant at 25. That's a lot.
That's a lot of pressure. But I mean, I feel like there's a huge difference between having a likable character and a lovable character. Because, like, we're not always all likable people. Yes. Like, I'm sure there are plenty of times my husband doesn't like me, but he always loves me.
Yeah, I think that once you see like why people do what they do, and I think, yeah, like Allison was saying, the journey that she goes on, obviously, and that's part of it. I think having the other person in your life, you know, having these relationships, whether they're the love interest or, you know, family and friends, to sort of say, okay, this is what's awesome. This is what maybe I could do differently. But I think what's like amazing about Simone is that she's so loyal, like she's fiercely loyal. So the same like sort of go out and get them attitude that she has about her own stuff is how she is for like her whole town, for those she cares about, for those she lets in. So she doesn't like necessarily let everyone in, but once she does, then she's going to do that same for you.
Yeah.
So she's sort of just, yeah, she's going to throw down everything for those that she cares about, which is something that I really admired about her as I was
writing. Yeah. I feel like, I mean, we would all be lucky to have a Simone in our life. And I do, because I have Allison.
I was going to say, but in our lives and on our side. So let's just clarify
on our
that.
Side, yes.
You don't really want, you don't want to be.
I don't want to be. Yeah. Finn at the first farmer's market. I don't want to have that Simone in my life.
Yes. You need someone like when you're at the airport and you need to get a ticket home, you know, we all have someone that's going to like get the ticket. And then there's me who's like, I'll just wait 3 days. And, you know, like approach the ticketing agent and try to see about getting a ticket. So yeah, we all have our strengths.
So we need you to channel, like if you get stuck somewhere, Chandra, we need you to channel Simone and go up there and do your best for the ticket. So you're like, not sitting for 3 days.
No, just sit down. Okay.
Because cool. You're feeding your four kids while you're doing that. I mean, that's a lot of meals.
And you don't want to be in an airport for 3 days with four kids.
Yeah, no, that's terrible.
That would just bankrupt you too, because like a bottle of water is $12.
Yes. So.
Guys, all you're sharing. I don't want her germs. She touched it first. He spit in it. Sorry, that's just my children.
Yeah,
that's how they are. They're
this is
fun.
Why I'm thankful I just have a dog.
No, but I
oh, I was just curious, what kind of dog?
Oh, the important questions are the ones that we always ask and get asked on Vox Wamas. He is a Catan de Tulier, which means he is a 20-pound cotton ball.
Oh, cute.
I was actually laughing really hard because I tried to do a workout video. This is back to me not wanting to look like a potato in a couple weeks. And the person who was leading it, her dog was asleep on a cushion on the floor through most of the video and then woke up. And I was looking like, that looks kind of like Tubby, but it's probably not Tubby. And then I couldn't remember the kind of dog you had because it's a fluffy something or other. So it was like, it's a little white dog, but it probably isn't the fancy little. It's just...
Oh, Tubby's not fancy.
Yeah, he's probably like cockapoo or something. I don't know. I know big dogs. I don't know little dogs. They're small.
Yeah.
I got it.
And he's actually being very nice, sleeping on a cushion near me.
Aw. Try to do a workout video and see what happens.
Oh, no. We can't even physically move around our house. He follows us and then goes directly to the refrigerator. And now he like pushes, because he wants I don't even want to say it. I can't.
Oh. Okay. Why would he want that?
Because it's his favorite thing and he can get a lot of them in a day. It's good for him. It's his favorite treat. Sorry, I'm saying all the words, and I'm like, any second now he's going to like leap at my face. No, he now like shoves us by the backs of our knees and like forces our bodies to go into the kitchen. And the second we're there, he's like, oh, like the refrigerator's right there. Uh-oh.
You probably heard the word kitchen.
Hey, I think he heard kitchen and refrigerator.
Words, it's different than the VET word. And it's funny because my kids are all at the age, my youngest can't spell. My other two, my eldest definitely can. My middle, it depends on what the word is. Like if I'm trying to suggest something, like, are we going to have, and so we just start using really strange words. Like I bought Kinder Joy eggs yesterday and my husband's like, I put the confectionery chicken ovulations above. I'm like, oh, that was disgusting. Why
that
did you
is,
call it?
That's
like,
a horrible way to call
it. Because if people don't want a Kinder Joy egg, it is a waste of money that my children are in love with, where it's like this chocolate, but it's not like a Cadbury egg. It's got a toy inside, which is why they want it. And they're like this big and you open it up and it's a thin shell of chocolate and has a toy inside and like a scrape out like Nutella kind of, I don't know. but they go bonkers for this silly thing. But he didn't want to, he wanted to tell me where they were without them hearing. And I'm just like, now that's just ruined. Thanks. Thanks for calling it that. Ugh. Vomiting on Vox Vomitus.
Vox Vomitus. Vox Vomitus. That's where we get the name.
So unfortunately, your book did not have vomiting in it. We've had books with vomiting. We do have someone who at some point may become under the weather, but was fortunately there were not copious barfing seats or anything.
No,
we've had to read those. Thank you.
Include those.
No, thank you. We appreciate the exclusion and omission. Smart editing job. No, we believe we like that. So, okay, if you can't tell us what the next one is, and it isn't necessarily in this series, can you tell us, are we staying in the same general genre, or are you branching out and we have to look for you under a weird pen name?
No, I'm sticking to romance. I'm really enjoying writing it. It's sort of what I always wanted to write, but I wasn't really sure if I feel like, to me, if romance doesn't have chemistry, then it falls flat. I feel like that's the hallmark of romance. Mm-hmm. And I just wasn't sure. I was like, can I write chemistry? So once I found out I could, I'm like, oh, this is amazing. I just want to keep
it. So yeah. You can write chemistry. There's chemistry in all of your books. Or do you feel like it was?
No. Just like as a person, before I was actually an author, just like when I was, just a person, I'm like, oh, I love
when I was just a person.
No, like just pre, my, like
when I was just
baby
a person,
me, like when I was like a young adult, like I originally went to college for screenwriting. And then I sort of changed because I was like, oh, maybe I just can't do this. And I sort of listened to those doubts, I guess. But then I still was like writing romance novels while I was sitting in other classes.
Chandra, lecture over here. Sorry, I'm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I was just scribbling romance on paper because I'm just old school. But yeah, so no, I love this genre. Who knows about the future? But right now, I'm definitely sticking to contemporary romance. I'm having cool. a lot of fun.
And do you think you're starting? I you might not be able to answer this. Is this going to be another new series? With any luck?
Yeah, definitely, yes, definitely writing, but yeah, no details yet.
I didn't ask
like what genre. I'm like, I should at least ask if it's this same genre, or if you're like, yeah, I'm done with the romance, everyone dies in my next book.
And I'm going directly to splatterpunk.
That would be a change. And yeah, we probably need to get you a pen name. I mean, like, I write under two pen names, and people are like, for people who do pen names, I'm like, first off, I'm not, like, being all sneaky. They're both my name, and I would always still answer to Allison, but if I would do sci-fi, I do, or anything speculative, I just use my initials, partially because some people are like, women shouldn't write that stuff. So if I just do AM, it's easier. And then Hubbard, I'm just really hoping someone thinks I'm related to L. Ron Hubbard and buys my book on accident. So that's my hope. But meanwhile, it's also because Hubbard is not a romantic last name, and nobody wants to buy a romance by Hubbard.
I mean, no. It's,
yeah, we would.
Yes.
I know your last name and I read your romance books.
I'm not supposed to publicize it. But then it does let me do like genre distinction. So I didn't know if you were going to be jumping over to like.
Yeah. No, I mean, that makes sense. Because you don't want someone looking for one of, your romance books and then, getting disappointed that like, what is this?
Or really freaked out. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yes. Yeah.
That doesn't have a happy ever after. No, and that's good, but that's the whole thing with the romance. We kind of know where things have to end up, but we don't know how they get there or how, there's also like the whole HFN, the happily for now, where the story for these characters isn't necessarily over. So like in Digging Up Love, we have a happily ever after, but it was kind of also a happily for now because we do see the characters again, but they're just not the main characters in the next book. They just are like, we're doing our thing. It's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Happily for now and happily to me, it's kind of the same. As long as the book ends with, the people together, I'm like, I'm happy. That's it. The people are together. And they're together forever in my mind.
Yes.
Exactly. This is why I hate it when there's like reboots of TV shows and then like the characters aren't together again. I will forever, never forgive the 90210 franchise because I was a big Kelly and Dylan forever. And on the original show, they ended up together. And then in their, like when they rebooted it, they weren't together. And I was like, not
I'm
cool.
More
not
you watched
cool.
The reboot, Jen.
I wanted to see if Kelly and Dylan were still together.
And they weren't?
They weren't. Should have watched it.
I know. And then I was like, so now I'm like, that show does not exist in my brain.
Yeah. No.
Well, I think most of us are doing that for Gilmore Girls too, with the Gilmore Girls that came later. And we're like, we're just going to, that was all fever dream. And Rory's going through anesthesia and is just seeing things. I don't know.
I think that she bonked her head on something.
She bonked her head. I haven't seen
Gilmore Girls. Like, I know I should, but I haven't.
It's worth watching, but you can ask Gilmore Girls watchers, like, who does she belong? Who should she end up with? Who does she belong with?
She belongs with Jess.
She belongs with Jess. There, it's not even a hard like that's not even a hard question. But
that's
there are
the
other shows
I've ever heard.
Right. Well, there are other shows where people are like, "Oh, well, I like this person, and I ship these people." Like you'll give the Bangles versus the Spuffies for Buffy, Angel, and Spike. Like you people, you can there.
She belongs with Spike.
Respectfully, she belongs with Spike. But see, you and I always knew the same thing, so it's kind of like we are a sample size of one between our shared brain. We don't really count as a variety of opinions.
I know stuff. But I feel like I would fight like Simone fights for like the couples I ship in shows. Like, no.
Yeah, I don't like when like I'm rooting for the wrong person in the love triangle. I'm like, why did you do that? It was that's always the terrible thing. I'm like, this whole time, you shouldn't have made him that good if you didn't want me to root for him.
I know. Like, you're the point. If you didn't want us to be rooting for them, do not make him so lovable.
Yeah,
exactly. Make him like worse. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That always gets me. I'm like, no, I just need to know right off the bat, who am I supposed to root for?
No, that's
don't toy with my emotions.
Together. Yeah.
Yeah. And I try to avoid love triangles even in my writing, partially because I feel like I don't think I'd be good at writing someone who is believable to be a consideration, but not enough that everybody would be like, okay, well, then why didn't you choose them? So that's always kind of the hard thing. Like, wait a second. Yeah. There's a balancing act. I don't know if I could pull that off. That sounds hard.
Good. Sometimes, people can pull it off. But yeah, I'm the same. I'm like, it's like a minefield. You never know if people can be like, no, why? The whole time I wanted him in there.
No, I mean, at least you have people invested and passionate, but if they're so invested and passionate that then they throw the book across the room and refuse to read like the rest of the series or anything else by you because you've pissed them off for life.
You need them invested enough to like write fan fiction if they didn't get the ending they wanted, but not so invested that they like swear off the whole new 90210 reboot.
Yeah. You know? No, I have people who are.
Or I should just not have watched that because I'm a grown up.
Yeah, no, and that's fair too. And if I think that's one of the things, like stuff that I didn't realize was on my bucket list as an author was being asked to blurb another author's book. Mm-hmm. I've gotten to do that. And that's like, that's really cool. Someone actually wants my name on their book saying I like it. Like, who cares what I think? But they do. And I also want to have fan fiction written about my characters. And I have people who are threatening to do it mostly because they're like, if you don't put this person in a happy relationship by the next book, Allison, I want, like, okay. Point taken, enough.
So you're going to not do it just so that you can have
Except the people who are saying this are not ones I don't think they're ones who even know how to find those fan fiction sites. And you know which fan fiction sites I'm talking about. The ones where they have the different rating systems. You can kind of sort them by levels of heat. You know, how saucy they get. But yeah, I don't think they would find those. They're more of just like, it's some of the same people who give me comments like, okay, is this person a person based in real life? Kind of. And yes, they're married. Why do you keep doing this to me? Sorry. So I usually, if I'm base people loosely on someone I know, odds are they are happily married now. And I'm sorry that I don't know more single people my age who are amazing and looking for a partner. I am not a dating service. Maybe I should be, but I am not. Sorry.
Oh, you could advertise for it in the back of the books, like matchmaking service.
Seriously. I think maybe romance books should have, like, if you liked this book, put it in there. And then a dating app will find somebody who also liked this book and wants to read it. Of course, it doesn't know that.
Is it Serendipity? Movie, Serendipity, don't they? They, like, find, like, a rare used book or something.
I think it's that.
I like that.
I feel like that's like it ruined the idea of romance for me because then every time I was like in a bookstore, I was like waiting to like reach for the same old book as somebody and be like, are we going to fall in love? Nope, it's not going to happen. I'm just standing here for hours.
Table of old books.
Yeah, by a table of old books.
You haven't read. What if you did? And then they'd be like, have you read it? Oh, well, no. But
No, I'm just standing here with my hand really close to a copy of The Beautiful and the Damned by F. Scott Fitzgerald. Waiting for you forever. So just
ma'am, the bookstore is closing. You're going to have to go wrong.
Oh, and on that note, this episode of Vox Vomitus is closing. Yeah. Chandra, you were a delight. Thank you so much for being here. Everybody, if you are a romance fan, a realistic romance fan,
yes,
please buy Stirring Up Love. It just was released yesterday. And I did not read the first book in the series, and it's not necessary. But now that I realize, I was like, oh, I wish I had known. It wasn't until like I got to the end and I'm like, wait a minute. Are these the people from the first book?
He messaged me like, yes, that's them.
Yeah, so it can be read as a standalone. But yeah, if you're one of the people who likes to read series in order, Digging Up Love is the first one. But yeah, they can both be read as standalones.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you, Allison, for being here with me as always. People who are watching this live or on the replay, please make sure to leave us a review on our Facebook page. That is now an option. So you can actually just click review and talk about how awesome we are. Don't leave a scathing one-star Yelp type of review that eventually somebody could scream at you on a TV show. Just drink that's probably tequila. Stay tuned for next week when we have Sarah McCraw Crow coming on to celebrate the paperback release of her novel, The Wrong Kind of Woman. So that will be next week. I'm like, which is that me? The Wrong Kind of Woman. That'll be next Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific. And we will see you next week. Bye.
Thank you.